Your next speaker is Lyndall R. Doty.
It has always been demanded of God that acceptable religion be of the inner man, of the heart. For God looks on the heart, not the external stature, appearance, and position of men. In the Old Testament, the outward action was acceptable to God only when it came from a heart which was right with the Lord. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, it is said of Solomon, "Know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 14 of Rehoboam, it is said that he did that which was evil because he set not his heart to seek Jehovah. In the New Testament, the emphasis is also on the heart. A man was to be what he ought to be on the inside first, and then that which he did on the outside would be acceptable. The Bible speaks of a new birth, of newness of life, of being a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 and Romans chapter 6 and other passages as well. The inner man, the mind or the heart, must have the proper attitude in order for what men do to be pleasing to God. Attitude has been defined by Webster as the mental position with regard to a fact, a state, or a person. Also, a feeling or an emotion toward that fact or state or person. Attitude has really always been man's problem with regard to God. There's a term that we hear used sometimes by people today when talking about attitude, it's talking about mindset. I don't know if you've heard the expression or not. But his mind is set on a certain way or in a certain way. Well, I think this is basically what the Bible talks about as attitude. About having the proper mindset with regard to God. It has been the attitude of men, his mindset, which has resulted in his separation from God. It has been his attitude, the proper attitude, which has brought about the result of fellowship with God. Attitude will determine where one will spend eternity, in other words. The major problems in the Lord's church, it seems to me, stem from the problem of attitude, spiritual heart trouble. Since attitude plays such an important role in our lives, I think it's worthy of study, and particularly in the light of what we want to do today. I see two basic attitudes or mindsets taught in the Bible. One is that of rebellion, and the other extreme, the other side of the coin, is submission. One is self-will, the other is God's will. And we may think to find degrees in between, but in reality, one's mind is set either in a rebellious attitude or a submissive attitude. And we want to study those attitudes today. First of all, let me suggest to you the attitude of rebellion, or self-will. We're talking about the attitude of putting self above God. We're talking about doing our will instead of God's will. There are many examples in the Old Testament that I want to, well, some of them I want to share with you today. But the Old Testament is a perfect place to find examples of this attitude. At the very beginning of the Bible, you find it beginning in Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were, to a point, obedient to God's will. They did what God wanted them to do up to a point. But then when it came time for the choice to be made, when a temptation was placed in their way, and Eve was tempted with the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, she chose to follow Satan's temptations to be like God. Instead of doing what God said so she might be like Him, she chose to do what Satan tempted her to do and become unlike Him. She rebelled because of her own self-will, a rebellious attitude. And that rebellious attitude resulted in death. Death spiritually, that is, a separation from God in a spiritual way, and death physically in that they were separated from the tree of life. As we go on through Old Testament history, just in a few chapters, in chapter 4 of the book of Genesis, we find another example of rebellion before God. Cain is a perfect example of such. According to the Hebrew letter, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than did Cain. In Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And since we know that Abel offered by faith, we know also that God told these young men what to offer. But you'll notice that Cain chose to offer of the fruit of the field instead of the flocks. Abel's offering was acceptable because it was what God said and it was out of the proper attitude. But Cain's was not acceptable because it was not what God asked to be offered. And you'll notice his attitude. His countenance fell. His appearance outwardly was determined by his inward attitude. And God spoke to Cain and said, Cain, if thou doest well, will thy countenance not be raised up, will not be lifted up? But if thou continuest to do wrong, if thou continuest to have this attitude, then sin coucheth at the door. Do you overcome it? And what he said is basically, Cain, as long as you continued in a self-willed attitude, you're going to have a downfallen countenance. But you can do well. You can change this and go ahead and do what's right. But did Cain do that? No. He continued in a rebellious attitude, a rebellious mindset, a self-willed mindset, and he killed his own brother out of jealousy. As we go on through the Old Testament, we find a classic example of rebellion and this kind of attitude in Pharaoh. When Moses came and spoke to Pharaoh in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, Pharaoh said, who is Jehovah that I should hearken unto his voice to let Israel go? I know not Jehovah, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Sometimes people are openly hostile in their rebellious attitude. They, as it were, shake their fists in the face of God and say, I will not do it. You know, there are people even today who have that attitude. They shake their fists in God's face and say, not me, bud, not me. I'm not going to do it. Most of us are not this obvious with our rebellion. The Pharaoh was. The Israel of Moses' day, as they were led out of the land of Egypt, in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 8, Moses said to the people after their murmurings and rebellion, for Jehovah heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him, and what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against Jehovah. They refused to do God's will through the prophet Moses. They refused to listen to God's will. They were self-willed, rebellious in their attitude toward God. And because of that, over and over and over again, God had to punish them for their rebellion. Later on in the history of Israel, we find that they again rebelled. They would come back to God and then they would rebel and have a group, a generation of people who would be rebellious again. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, after the period of Judges and the time about 400 years or so after the entering into the land of the promise, we have a period here where Samuel is the prophet, he's also the judge and the leader of Israel. But the people didn't want that. They wanted a king like the other nations around them. Samuel was quite upset about this. But God spoke to Samuel about it and said, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. They rebelled as a nation. And on down through the history of the people of Israel, God's people now, mind you, there is a rebellious attitude. Two prophets primarily deal, well, they're all the prophets deal with this attitude, but two I want to notice primarily today. And if you have your Bibles, turn along with me and notice this attitude. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 beginning, look at what Isaiah says, or God says about his people right here at the beginning of Isaiah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for Jehovah hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Isn't that something? I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that deal corruptly. They have forsaken Jehovah, they have despised the Holy One of Israel, and they are estranged and have gone backward. What a terrible situation. What was the cause of it? Rebellion. An attitude of disobedience to God. And look at Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah continues this line of thinking and talking about the people of God and their attitude toward God. He says in verse 9, beginning, "For it is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of Jehovah, that say to seers, see not, and to prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits." Their attitude was one of rebellion. And notice that the characteristic of that rebellious attitude was, don't tell us the truth. We don't want to hear the truth. Seers, don't see. Prophets, don't prophesy. Teachers, don't teach. But speak unto us smooth things. The attitude of rebellion is always an attitude of disobedience to God. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2, the prophet says, "I have spread out," talking about God now speaking, "I have spread out my hands all the day unto rebellious people. They walk in a way that is not good, after their own thoughts." Isn't that the problem? They walk not after God's way, but they walk after their own thoughts. The attitude of rebellion. In Jeremiah, in chapter 6, a little later on in the history of Israel, from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah prophesied of what would take place. And Jeremiah is right at the beginning of that which takes place in the destruction of Jerusalem and the deliverance of the people of Israel into captivity. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16, the great prophet says, "Thus saith Jehovah, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein." A rebellion against God's way. In Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24, he says, "I commanded them, saying, hearken unto my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all the way that I command you, that it may be well with you." But listen to their attitude, their response. "But they hearkened not, nor inclined their ear, but walked in their own counsels and in the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward." That's always the results of rebellious attitude. In Jeremiah chapter 44, again, Jeremiah is appealing to the people of Israel. He begins in verse 16 and 17 and makes this statement. "As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of Jehovah, we will not hearken unto it or unto thee, but we will certainly perform every word that has gone forth out of our mouth." That was the attitude of the people. They responded to Jeremiah's preaching by saying, "We will not hearken to what you have said, that God has said, but we will hearken what has gone out of our own mouth." A rebellious attitude to God. In the New Testament writers picture the people of God in the Old Testament as being rebellious and disobedient people. In Romans 10 and verse 21, "All the day long did I spread out my hands unto the disobedient and gainsaying people, and they would not come." In Hebrews chapter 3, the passage that I asked Brother Neil to read this morning, talks about the New Testament perception of this disobedient and rebellious attitude of the people of God in the Old Testament. A self-willed attitude is not only forbidden in the Old Testament, but also is forbidden in the New Testament. It is always disapproved by the people of God and those who speak by inspiration. Romans 10 and verse 21 and Hebrews 3, 7 and 9 point out that the New Testament writers and the people who were inspired of God to write the New Testament spoke of the rebellious attitude of the Jews as one to be feared, one to be made aware of, and to be sure that one did not fit into that category. The Jews would not subject themselves in the New Testament to the will of Christ, but rather sought to justify themselves. Romans 10 and verse 3. The Pharisees, Jesus said, "Ye are they who seek to justify yourselves." Luke 16 and verse 15. They had a rebellious attitude against God's message. In Matthew 7, 21 to 23, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, did we not do many mighty works in your name? Did we not cast out demons and so forth in your name? And I will say unto them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." What was the problem? These people were doing things, had done many things, and had done them in the name of Christ. But they had not done the will of the Father. There's a difference. What I may choose to speak from my own mouth, or think from my own mind, or do from my own heart may be entirely different from that which God wants me to do. And I may do it in the name of Jesus and claim to be doing it in the name of Jesus, but if it's done out of an attitude of rebellion to God's will, it will not be acceptable. It must be in keeping with God's will. They evidently had done what they wanted to do. Do you have a self-willed attitude? Do you do God's will even when it differs from your own? Isn't that the real test? We don't have a problem doing what we agree with. We don't have a problem doing what we want to do that's in keeping with God's will. It's those things that we don't like, that we don't agree with, that we really show our attitude toward God and His Word. It was all right with the Israelite people to do what God wanted them to do as long as it was in keeping with what they wanted to do. But when it differed from what they wanted to do, then they rebelled against God. And the same attitude is current in our 20th century. We, like the Israelites, get mad at the person who tell us the truth about what God wants us to do and what God would have us not to do. Instead of getting mad at the person who's telling us the truth, though, are we not doing the same thing the Israelites did? When Moses said, "You're not speaking against me, you're speaking against God." The truth of God is still true. It will always be true. And men will not change it. Because it will be that word which Jesus spoke, the truth, which is the word of God, which shall judge us in the last day. John 12 and verse 48. The words that I speak unto you shall judge you in the last day. My friends, we may have a rebellious attitude, but be assured, we're going to be judged by the standard of God, whether we're rebellious against it or not, or whether we like it or not. It will be the standard by which we'll be judged. Remember, God knows the heart. The psalmist says in Psalm 10 and verse 11 that the wicked feel that God will forget or that He will not see what we do. But the psalmist goes ahead and says, "But He will not forget, and He does see." In Isaiah 29 and verse 15, the prophet says, "Woe unto them that hide deep their counsel from Jehovah, and whose works are in the dark, and that say, Who seeth us, or who knoweth us?" Yes, the implication is obviously that God does. What's the result of this rebellious attitude? Paul says about the Gentiles in Romans chapter 1 and verse 24 that a rebellious attitude, a self-willed determination to do what men wanted to do what they wanted to do, leads to a reprobate mind. And if you read the characteristics of those who were Gentiles, who had once known God but chosen not to know Him in the right way, and chosen to put Him out of their knowledge, ended up with a reprobate mind, a mind of no account, of no use, of no purpose, and deceitful, and dirty, and sinful. And if you read the characteristics of those who made up that, you'll find, I'm afraid, some characteristics of those today who are very similar. Listen to verse 24. Wherefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts unto uncleanness, that their body should be dishonored among themselves, for that they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to their vile passions. For their women changed the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working unseemliness and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error which was due. And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up unto a reprobate mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, whisperers, backbiters, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. What terrible characteristics are the results of rebellion? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul says, the end of that kind of thing is perdition. And look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Here's an outgrowth of this rebellion. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. A man that hath set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, think ye, shall he be judged worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith is sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite in the spirit of grace. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again the Lord saith, shall judge his people, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now what's the point? The point is that rebellion always brings terrible results. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God with a rebellious heart and attitude. Now what's the proper attitude toward God? The proper attitude is that of submission, the one of subjecting one's will to God's will. Christians are to have the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 3 and or verse chapter 2 and verse 5. What is the mind of Christ? What's his attitude toward God? In John 4 and verse 34, Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to accomplish his work. In John 8 and 24, he says, I do always the things that are pleasing to him. In what we call, commonly referred to as the Lord's Prayer, in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 2, he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can we pray that prayer? Do we pray that prayer? Do we honestly say, thy will be done, Lord? Is that our attitude? Even when Jesus was facing the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup be removed from me. But nevertheless, if whatever thy will is, let thy will be done. That's the attitude of the mind of Christ. And that's the attitude the Christian must have. Christians are to humbly submit their will to the Lord's will. In James chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, James reminds us that we are to be subject unto Christ. That we're to subject ourselves, submit ourselves unto the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 and 6, the same idea again. We're to subject ourselves unto the will of Christ, unto the will of the Lord. In Mark 12 and verse 50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother, says Jesus. There is family. The people who do God's will is the family of Christ. Christians are to yield to righteousness, not unrighteousness. Romans 6 and verse 13. We have the mind of the Spirit, which is the mind of Christ, and not the mind of the flesh. We follow not the lust of the flesh, but rather the teachings of the Spirit of Christ. Romans 8, verse 5 to 14. But why should we submit to the Lord? Because of the results. We ought to submit to the Lord because, number one, we love Him because He loved us. Jesus said in John 14 to verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in verse 23, the same idea. If we love Christ, if we love the Father, we will do the will of the Father. And when you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 to 6, it's clear that John tells us how we really know that we know God. And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth His word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also to walk, even as He walked. Christ walked with the will, not of self, but in the will of God. We're to walk not in the will of self, but in the will of the Spirit, in the will of the mind of Christ, in the will of the Spirit of Christ. And in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, John says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And in 2 John verse 6, and this is love, that we should walk after His commandments. This is the commandment, even as you heard from the beginning, that you should walk in it. We're to walk in keeping with the Lord's instructions. The results, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do it. Luke 11 and verse 28. And the very close of the book of the New Testament, the writer says in Revelation 22 and verse 7, blessed is he that keepeth the words of the prophecy of this book. What great things are the result of a submissive will to God. The results are the blessings of this life as a Christian, the abundant life promised by the Lord, and the joys of heaven itself. What is your attitude toward God? Is it one of angry rebellion when you hear the truth? Is it one that you just disagree with God? Do you shake your fist in the face of God, or you just inside shake your fist in the face of God? Which is it in your heart? Or do you have the spirit of subjection, the spirit of submission, the mindset of thy will be done, Lord? Speak, thy servant heareth. What is your attitude?